You're listening to SBS News.
It's the smoke Abel Gutierrez still vividly remembers. He was a 44-year-old exiled Timor-Leste independence activist who'd just been fired at by militia forces on a tense drive to Dili, the capital of Timor-Leste. He'd driven to the top of a hill overlooking the city. No one was answering his calls, and he soon knew why. The city was up in flames.
So then when we got up to the top of the hill looking over Dili, Dili was burning. There was smoke everywhere. Wow, that was just... Then we realized, wow, the place is up in flames. No wonder nobody would answer the phone.
It was August 31st, 1999, and a historic referendum on independence had just taken place a day earlier. Lines had formed from the early hours of the morning, with East Timorese people eager to cast their vote in the United Nations supervised exercise. They were choosing between autonomy within Indonesia or independence. For hundreds of years, Timor-Leste had been occupied by the Portuguese, and in 1975, Indonesia invaded, sparking a 24-year-long independence struggle. It's estimated more than 200,000 people, a quarter of the population, were killed by fighting, famine and disease. The referendum showed a resounding 78.5% of people were in favour of independence, but pro-Indonesia paramilitary groups had already begun attacking pro-independence civilians and setting fire to buildings. In all, at least 1,400 people are thought to have been killed. The events prompted the deployment of a UN-authorised force known as INTERFET, consisting mainly of Australian Defence Force personnel, to establish and maintain peace. This is an SBS World News report from The Time.
The fires seen by departing television crews only hint at the extent of the militia's rampage. Armed gangs, allegedly supported by Indonesian troops, are attacking houses and public buildings.
Mr. Gutierrez's connection with Australia was by chance. He grew up poor but happy in a rural mountain village in Timor-Leste and would later be teaching in the city of Bacau in 1975 when, out of curiosity, he and a friend decided to board an Australian military transport plane to Darwin. They intended to check the city out and return 2 weeks later, but that fortnight turned into 24 years after Indonesia invaded Timor in December. Vacuum left by the sudden departure of the Portuguese saw civil war erupt between those who favoured integration with Indonesia and those who longed for independence. Mr. Gutierrez found himself in Melbourne in the late 70s, working as a tram and bus driver, not knowing what had happened to his family.
But those days we spoke very little English, so that was, another bit of a disadvantage. But you get by. And I was 19 at the time, and learning language was no problem.
In 1980, he was told Indonesian forces had killed 13 of his siblings and his father. The tragedy motivated Mr. Gutierrez to continue campaigning for independence for Timor-Leste. Blacklisted by Indonesian authorities, Mr. Gutierrez returned to Dili for the first time in 1999, using a fake name to enter the country. Despite the risks, he says he was determined to cast his vote. The worst-case scenario, he had decided, was that he'd be buried in his village and at least he'd be home.
You're waiting for 24 years for this to happen. It's like somebody lost in the desert and thirst for water. So this is the time you're going to get the water to drink, so why not? Yeah. You give everything, yes.
In the lead-up to the vote, pro-Indonesia militia waged a violent campaign against citizens in Timor-Leste, which saw massacres in Dili and Laquisha in April 1999. Australia's ambassador to Indonesia at the time was John McCarthy, who spoke with SBS inside his Canberra residence ahead of this week's referendum anniversary. He said those violent incidents made it clear the process wasn't going to be a smooth one. The now retired diplomat has travelled across the world but regards the 4 years he spent in Jakarta from 1997 to 2000 among the most memorable of his career. It was Mr. McCarthy who delivered the now infamous Howard letter from the then Australian Prime Minister to the new Indonesian President B.J. Habibie in December 1998. The letter proposed autonomy for Timor-Leste and came at a fragile time in Indonesia. Indonesia's President Suharto had been forced to resign, and his successor set about quickly reforming his policies, which led to the independence vote being announced in January 1999. On the day of the referendum itself, Mr. McCarthy remembers a mood of pretty serious concern taking hold in Dili amid fears of repercussions.
I got very nervous when I heard that an Indonesian plane was being sent down to take out Indonesian journalists, because it said to me, you know, what do they know that I don't know? But it added to the concerns.
The concerns were, of course, justified, with Mr. McCarthy describing absolutely chaotic scenes and trouble of a dimension not anticipated playing out before him. The ambassador made international headlines when he was shot at by militia while driving around Dili trying to ferry foreigners to safety. Luckily, he said, they missed. Mr. McCarthy knocked on doors at the Turismo Hotel where many journalists and foreigners were staying, transporting them to safety, including a UN compound.
Normally, you don't do that. The ambassador's not the person out, you know, in a big embassy like that, on the ground like that. But the fact was, there just weren't very many of us, and it had to be done. So that, you know, it's part of the business, really.
Vesna Nazor was one of the foreign journalists covering the crisis from Dili in August 1999. The SBS reporter recalled a tense atmosphere and a climate of fear in the lead-up to the vote, but also a distinct sense of anticipation.
And that was a day full of hope for a brighter future, but as it transpired, the East Timorese paid a very high price for their independence.
2 decades after the bloodbath, she said the courage of the East Timorese people should be remembered. Reporting the story was difficult at times for journalists on the ground who were threatened by machete-wielding militia and had to negotiate roadblocks. Amid security warnings, as the situation deteriorated, Ms. Nazor and other journalists left their hotel, which had previously been attacked by militia, to find more secure accommodation.
I will never forget my final night in Dili at that time. It was actually deemed too unsafe to stay in our hotel. I ended up staying at a house that had some form of security with other Australian journalists. And we stayed up all night listening to gunfire and basically the start of what was described as a scorched earth policy, where the militia were on the rampage and they were going through Dili, attacking people, burning down homes. And the following day, we were actually told to leave Dili.
Like other journalists covering the events, Ms. Nazor said she was conflicted about leaving behind those who couldn't escape and leaving what was a major international story at the time. But the decision was made by SBS that it was no longer safe to stay, especially after the militia began targeting international journalists who were reporting live from the rooftop of a hotel in Dili.
Many of us did want to stay and be a witness to what was going on. And many of us had been working closely with East Timorese people, East Timorese journalists and people we were using as fixers and translators. And we'd gotten to know many of the local people, and we could leave, but they couldn't. And we really felt that very deeply, and really felt terrible having to leave them behind, knowing what was awaiting them.
Ms. Nazor and SBS cameraman Michael O'Brien were on the last commercial flight out of Dili to Bali before the airport was shut down. A dispute over resources, spying allegations and the ongoing Witness K court case are clear demonstrations of the frustrations of the relationship between Timor-Leste and Australia. 2 decades on from the independence referendum, John McCarthy told SBS his sense is that Australia had made some mistakes but is moving in the right direction with Timor. The events of 1999 presented a unique foreign policy opportunity for Australia that Mr. McCarthy regards as extremely significant. He says Australia played a rare primary role in the crisis.
I think what we probably needed to have done is put much more political energy into East Timor in the 20 years since it became independent. And East Timor, after all, is still a little country. It's only about 1 million people. But we need to focus on it. They need to take us seriously as their first port of call. And I don't think we've played our cards as well as we have in the past 20 years. But we're moving in the right direction.
After casting his vote, Mr. Guterres went to the mountains, not returning until the following day when he was chased by what he calls drugged militia. He was evacuated on a plane to Bali but returned to Dili in 2002 when Timor-Leste would finally gain independence to help organise the celebrations. The activist became a successful diplomat, studying at Oxford and helping to start the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Timor-Leste. Mr. Guterres says while it was a bloody path to independence, everything that happened was worth it.
Australian solidarity has always been very important. Through this bedrock friendship, we want Australians to also celebrate in this success story.
Hannah Sinclair, SBS News.